if you've been around the Christian circles for a while or watched Christian television, you've met somebody that's considered in the spirit, you've probably met people that have said, I want to speak into your life. I want to speak peace into your life. I want to speak prosperity into your life. If you met some people that call themselves really walking with God, they want to hear a word. They want you to feel that they're so in touch with God that when they speak, God's going to act. That means if they say something good, then you'll become beholden to them because they've spoken good. If they say something that what you call bad or negative, you'll have a fear of them. And so many times they'll try to put themselves in the stead of God, whether they think that's what they're doing or not. And there are people, they go and flock to people like that when they could go into God's word, and God's word would speak life into them, life into their situations, life into the problems that they have in their homes. But what happens after God speaks life into a person? I'm not saying somebody tell you that they did it. When people tell me stuff like that, let me tell you, I don't believe them. I don't care if you speak a blessing on me. I don't believe you. Even if what you're saying is true. My thoughts are, if you've spoken something as good that's going to happen for me, it's going to happen whether I believe it or not. Am I right? I think I am. If you speak something that's going to happen bad for me, if God has told you that, it's going to happen anyway. Not that I don't believe that God gives people information or knowledge, but usually I have met so many charlatans that borrow a little bit from Spider-Man. My spider senses just get to tingling when somebody knows so much that they can tell me, never seen me, and I've watched how you lived. Why God gonna drop so much wisdom in you? That doesn't mean it can never happen. That does not mean that. God spoke through an ass one time. But I'm just telling you, if you go to Numbers 24 and you read that passage, you'll find that regardless to what the ass said, God was getting ready to kill that man anyway, whether that man believed it or not. And what God told the man is, if it hadn't have been for the donkey for your sake, okay, because you know you live in a world where that's the only one you know is the one we carry on our backside. But if it hadn't been for that donkey, I'd have killed you. I'd have done it. Well, we went through last week where Jacob made, I call it an emblem, but for the sake of those that want to hold on to it, a memorial to the fact that God had met with him and that he had had this magnificent encounter with God. And, you know, Jacob made this vow. But what happens afterwards? What happens after you meet with God? What happens after God speaks on you? Don't you feel that God spoke a blessing on Jacob? Don't you agree that God spoke life on Jacob? Somebody said, I don't see that. Didn't he say, I'm going to multiply your seed? Is that not life? Didn't he say, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to preserve you? Or I'm going to keep you where you go? God has spoken life to this man. Now what? Life happens. Life happens. Have you ever sinned before? Have you ever walked in sin before? After you've known God? Isn't it the day-to-day that gets you down? Isn't it the day-to-day when nothing really exciting happens? When the time comes, you get bored. Get into conversations that you shouldn't. You go new places and new people and new things. Then what? I submit to you, in the case of Jacob, we'll learn that obedience to the known will of God is your first priority for life. If God speaks life into you, it doesn't mean it's a one-shot deal. It's something that's continually to be done. Somebody say, Tim, where you get that from? I know the Bible. God gave them manna. But he didn't give it to him one time. He said, okay, you eat this manna one time, and have as long you live, you never have to eat again. They gathered the manna every day. Jesus taught that we should live off the word of God. Man should not live by bread alone. But how many words? One book? One chapter? Just the New Testament? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God in the New Testament wasn't even penned yet when he said that, Lord, have mercy on those of us who don't like what we call the Old Testament. Tim, leave that alone. Go back to what you're talking about. What was the known will of God that Jacob knew? What was the charge that he got last week? Do not marry one of these women of Canaan. Go to Paddan Aram. Leave Beersheba. You got about a 450-mile journey to go without a car, without Greyhound bus lines, no plane, no private jet. That's a long way to go. You know that? 450 miles estimated. Could be a little more. But don't marry a woman of the Canaanites. Go and marry one of the family in which our ancestor, our your grandfather, my father, Abraham, came from. Go get one from Bethuel's house, from Laban, one of his daughters. That was his charge. Now somebody say, well, how did he know that was God's will? You were wanting the blessing. You were wanting the birthright. You got the blessing from this man, and then you got it again from your daddy, and then God confirms it and ratifies it. I submit to you that when you want to say that you're walking with God and God has spoken into your life, how is your obedience? How is your obedience to what you know? This man is embarking upon something brand new, Stephanie. I submit to you the one thing that he does know is that I need to go there and I'm supposed to marry a woman. I'm not supposed to go there. I'm just going to be celibate. What if she ugly? What if she too fat? She might not know how to dress and fix her hair. What if she don't have teeth? I don't even know. But based upon what had happened with his father, his daddy sent to get him a woman, and he got the woman and he married. This man's charge was not to marry the Canaanite woman, but to marry one of his sisters. And God has just told him, I'm going to multiply you when he saw the access to him. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to make your seed of such that it's going to grow and it's going to prosper. That's the first thing that I want to have our eyes to focus on. Who's going to read for me today? Whoever's going to read for me today, please start with chapter 29, verse 1. We're going to look into the obedience of the charge that we know that one gets from God. Please read.
Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth.
You know, there are some people that don't like the word of God and they have problems with it. I got a call from a guy this week that we used to do Bible class with on Fridays. And he was having some issues with some people that were giving him a hard time. And he called me to talk about it. And one of the issues that was brought up is that, well, you know, Moses got a lot of problems in what he wrote. Well, that'll be one of the things that we deal with when we have some of our discussions. There's no problems. And I told him, I just basically told him, I said, watch the person's life. Usually people that are like that are living a wicked and an ungodly life, and they're trying to find something wrong. Most of the time, people that have problems with the Bible don't know it. So they go and read in the middle of the Bible and then go back to the first and think they understand where they should have started from the first and worked their way through. Well, I brought that up because I think this is such a beautiful way that God has allowed this writer to write this. This is so picturesque. Let me get you all to where I am. See, I'm feeling this. I'm seeing it. This man is leaving alone. We talked about last week, he's left the comfort of his mother, the overarching protection of her, the blessing of the father, and now he's gone. And all he knows is, I'm supposed to go get a wife, and God say he's going to bless me. But you can't tell me that he thinks that God just going to make everything magnificent and that there would be no problem. I mean, if he thinks back to his family history, if he'd heard the stories of his grandfather, God was with me, but man, sometimes I didn't think God was going to do what he said he was going to do. If he'd listened to his daddy, I just didn't know. Looked like we couldn't get away or nowhere. And now here he goes. And he comes to the land of the people of the East. I don't know how long that took. How long you think it would take you to walk 450 miles? Or if you had a camel, how long it would take? I don't think it's a week journey. It might be a month, depending on how long it takes for you to go. But he said when he gets here, he looks and there's a well in the field. Don't you think that on a journey like that, it might be nice to know you found water where you are? And he sees flocks of sheep, three of them. And there's a well there, and it's a rock over it, okay? Now, the way the wells were, sometimes they would have a big flat rock. Think about a disc, a rock that's flat, and it covers the mouth of the well. Do you know what a well is? It's a hole that goes in the ground. I don't know. Sometimes it can go 50 feet, 100 feet, sometimes less, depending on it. And there's water underground. And there's a rock over it so animals can't fall in it. Little children out playing can't fall in it. Dust won't get the water all dirty. And sometimes they would have the rock and they would cut a hole in the middle and put another rock on top of it to protect it. As people got to the age when my dad is his age, they'd build up something around it, maybe build something around it. And then they'd have a string on it and they would lower stuff down and then they'd get it up. But at this time, there's a rock on it. And he's there. At the well, at the well's mouth, and read it again, verse 2, and let me explain what's going on.
And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth.
Please read.
And thither were all the flocks gathered. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place.
So what they would do is they would gather there together, and the men would roll the stone away. They would water the flocks, and they come. So it's probably a noisy place. Just noise. Can you imagine all those sheep there waiting? That might have been what helped him get to that place. The noise, the sheep that are there waiting to receive water so that life can be sustained, because usually they would water sheep twice a day. Verse 4.
And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said, of Haran are we.
Now, Jacob said, notice, where are you from? We're from Haran. Jacob is at the place now that there's got to be some kind of anticipation that maybe now I'm going to get the very thing that God has spoken of me. I'm close to where I'm supposed to be. I'm at Haran. This is where I'm supposed to get my wife. This is where I'm supposed to be to start my family. And so what was the next question he asked?
And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him.
Do you see what Jacob? He went there under obedience of what his charge was. His charge right now is not to go and heal the sick, is not to raise the dead, is not to be a prophet. His job was to go there and marry in this family because the blessing is already on you. You've already had it spoken to you by your father, who is blessed. It's already spoken to you by God. Now, you don't say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God ain't telling me what to do every minute of the day. I ain't being led. You're being led of God is doing what you know you should do until you receive further instruction. This man is on it. Do you know Laban? Do you know him? He's the son of Nahor. It may be a lot of Labans. I mean, for instance, there's a lot of Stephanies. I know more than one. And God knows if you got a name like Tim. I even went on the web one time and put my name in there. I don't even have a Facebook. put my name in there. And there are a lot of Tim Merritts. But how many Tim Merritts are there the son of Billy L. Merritt and Faye Merritt? It might be 30, 20. May not even be another one. This man is trying to accurately follow the command that he has. Please read.
And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well.
Now, I had to stop right there for a minute. I'm so glad you just flowing with me today, Dre. When he says, is he well, it doesn't mean, is he not sick? Is he decrepit? Does he have some kind of disease or communicable disease and I need to stay away from him? The word here is shalom. Is he at peace? Is he a peaceful man? Because he could be evil. So he says, is he shalom? Is he at peace? And they say, he's a peaceful man. Go ahead.
He is well, and behold, his Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep.
Now, Rachel, or Raquel, when you look at the word Raquel, her name means ewe, like a ewe lamb. So here comes the ewe with the sheep. Here comes Rachel, his daughter. Wait a minute. Now, understand this. What was his purpose? Somebody blurt it out. What was his purpose of going there?
To get away.
From whom?
His family.
And who's the man's name?
That's Uncle Laban.
And then who is just now coming to the well with the sheep? Don't you understand how God is able to orchestrate and work things out, although we don't understand? If God gives a charge, if God tells you how to live, young lady, he can help you fulfill it. But here she comes with the sheep, a shepherdess. Read, please.
And he said, lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them.
Well, evidently Jacob knows something about sheep. They're sitting around, and Jacob say, it's a lot of day left. Let's go ahead and water the sheep. Let's be about business. Please read, because I'm going to develop this.
And they said, we cannot, until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep.
Now, I don't know if the men were lying. I don't know if they were lazy. But sometimes in that culture, they would get all of the sheep together, and they would water the sheep at one time and not have to open the mouth of the well that much. But there is a possibility they could have been lazy. There's one other that may be, and I'm not sure. I don't like to throw all these in the mix, but in order to give us a panoramic view of what some of the things that happened in that culture, it could have been that Laban owned the well, and you don't open the mouth of the well till the man that owns it, representative, is there. What I submit to you is, number one, is that the well was there. She is coming. Jacob has a charge to keep. And the charge he has to keep, he is on point about it. So when he comes in, the men are not doing fully what he feels should be done. Notice what happens in the next verse. Please read.
And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother.
I submit to you that in being obedient to God, being obedient to this charge, while in the meantime he provided service. I do not believe that when God speaks life or blessing upon somebody else, it's just for you to hold to yourself and they sit down and worship you. Jacob, he goes, he provides service. He starts doing stuff for somebody. Let me give you a picture. Now, sometimes it took three men to move that rock from the mouth of the well. They would do it together. But Jacob goes and moves this rock himself. I remember the first time when Ann and I, with another group, went through the book of Genesis. I said, that dispelled my fear that Jacob was a weakling. He wasn't a hunter. He wasn't Esau. But when you get the idea that Jacob is just a little weakling, and he goes and moves this stone, there's one or two things that can happen. One, you get a lot of strength because he is somebody. But imagine if you're going and trying to move a stone from somebody and you're not really strong enough, how embarrassing that would be. You go to and show off and like, oh, my back. You ever hurt your back? And if you're a man, if there's anything inside of you, you know, any of your, you know, because you get 23 chromosomes from your mom, 23 from your daddy. If there's a little estrogen in you somewhere, it can come out when your back hurts. You can cry like a baby. And if you don't cry, the tears can just roll out even if you don't make the sound. So he goes and provides service. Read some more of this sweetie thing.
Verse 11. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept.
Jacob kisses Rachel. Now, first time I read this, I was reading this as a boy. And I'm thinking, you know, I've seen a lot of TV in my day, you know, and where old TV, it looks like the man, he sucks the top lip and she sucks the bottom lip of the man. I'm thinking they kissing, you know. You know, on TV, they're like, ugh! I'm thinking they just, no, Tim. Because in a minute, we're going to see Laban kisses him. But that's the type of greeting. But I promise you, when we read this passage, that it wasn't just the fact that Jacob was happy and just greeting her with just a kiss. But the Bible says this man sees this woman. He provides service, realizing that this is at least a daughter of the one he is, of the man that he sent to marry, one of his daughters, and he's happy. It looks like I found success. It looks like God, oh, God is working this thing out for me so well. This is going to go so well serving God. Oh, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, God. You going to let me have children with her? Woo! Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless his everlasting name that sits between the cherubim. Read the rest of this sweetie thing.
And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him.
See?
And brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things.
So do you understand, like you a young girl, you ever notice whenever you a little, or if I kiss you, I always kiss you right here at the top of your head. You know why? Because I'm a man. I don't want nobody to say that I've been trying to do something I got no business doing. At the top of your head where the hair is, that's decent. But if a man comes and start kissing you all over your face, I want to know why he kissing you. What he doing? Why? Because you a young lady. Naomi's a young lady. So all kisses are not necessarily bad. It's the fact that what we've done in our culture, we think every time somebody kiss, except for when they kiss babies. But I kiss a lot of women. I told this woman the other day, I said, when they're over 95, my wife don't care if I kiss them. When I think the lady was 96 or 98, I was doing, don't I have some people? I got a lady that's one of my clients, 101. I meet these people that's over 90, and I get them kisses like you would a baby, and never seems to seem to mind. But I limit it to a certain age. I know way up there in the age. But what happens is nobody ever like, ooh, something wrong with him. I don't kiss them on the lip, on the head, or maybe right there. What I'm saying is there's a greeting kiss. And there's a kiss that ought not so to be done unless you're special to one another in the confines of marriage. Not just going together, not just liking somebody. All that kissing when you're not married, that's the beginning part. That's the appetizer. And dinner's right around the corner, and it's not time to eat yet. Please read. You can go ahead and laugh. I'm just telling the truth. They tell me that's not appetizer. They have a different name for it. They call it F-O-R-E, and they say plain. But dinner, all that kissing, they call it making out. That's appetizer. There's no point in taking all the appetizer unless you're ready to eat. You walk away too hungry. Please read.
And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month.
This is letting you see right here that Jacob was successfully reached the place he was supposed to reach. And he was able to talk to Laban, and Laban understood that this is part of my family. It may also be that I'm taking you in as to be mine. But remember, Laban knows that his daddy has plenty. Laban knows that Jacob is an heir. At least that in his family there's money. Remember the gold and all the stuff that was brought before? But Laban also is benefiting from Jacob being there because Jacob is serving in that purpose. I submit to you that we don't all the time know what God is going to do with us, but serve where you are. Read, and you'll see.
And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?
So we see that Jacob had been serving, providing service. Naomi, he had been working for his uncle, and he had been doing such a good job that the uncle decides, I want to keep you. So much so, what do you want? You're serving me. What will your wages be? The odds are, I think, that Laban know what the first one came there for when they came back. He came to get a wife. What will your reward? What will your wages be? You're not going to serve me for nothing. So what do you want? Read the next verse, please.
And Laban had two daughters.
Laban had two daughters. Stephanie would have said that Stephanie had four daughters. Read on.
The name of the elder was Leah.
The name of the oldest, not an elder in a church. The name of the oldest was Leah.
And the name of the younger was Rachel.
What was the daughter's name, Naomi?
Rachel.
And what else, Chizari? Leah. Yes, and who was the oldest? If you say one and it's wrong, it's got to be the other one. Leah. Is she right? Is she right? Is Leah the oldest? Okay, please read.
Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored.
So which one would you rather be? Would you rather be Leah? I'm just saying, just from the description. Leah was tender-eyed, and Rachel was beautiful. Which one would you want to be, Naomi?
Rachel.
Which one would you want to be, Chizari? Which one would you rather be? And back there, Chastity, which one would you rather be, the tender-eyed or the beautiful one? Well, the Bible says Leah was tender-eyed. Some feel that that means that her eyes were weak. I've read that it meant her eyes were blue. I've read that they were weary. I've read all. I do not get a consensus. But there's nothing to say that she was a dog. There's nothing to say that she was ugly. But it's something that about her eyes that didn't sparkle or didn't have the, you know, that excitement. You ever seen somebody just have pretty eyes before? Her eyes just didn't do it for him, okay? Tender eyes. And it could have been a cultural thing, but whatever it was, her eyes just didn't do it. But on top of that, Rachel was beautiful. Do you understand? Two women can look good, but one is beautiful. It doesn't make the other one ugly. Rachel was beautiful. And the Bible says, well favored. What does that mean? Do you think that Jacob, the first time that Jacob saw her, he recognized that she was beautiful? Do you think the first time that he saw that she was something that he liked? Or do you think it's just he just now realized after he worked there a month? Don't you understand that sometimes God has something for us to do, and it looked like we understand. Jacob, to him, it looked like, man, God has really hooked me up. God has really done me right. He's given me, oh, man, this woman is beautiful. And I like her. Lord, I'm willing to do your will. I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing, Lord. If I got to be the father of a multitude of seeds, I'm with you, Lord. I'm with you on this one. Read, please.
And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter.
You think you're beautiful enough that somebody will work 7 years to have you? That's a lot of beauty. For 7 years. I don't have a dowry. Everything is at home. I had to run away from Esau. So I couldn't bring stuff with me. I couldn't send a servant ahead of time because I messed stuff up. I messed up stuff. Me and my mother and I, we did so much that I had to get out of Dodge, as they call it. So I come here empty-handed. But I know how to work. I know how to give good service. And your daughter now doesn't have to take care of the sheep. I can do better. I can move the rock myself when it's time to get water. You've seen my work. I work for you for free, just room and board. I tell you what, I'll do it for 7 more years if you give me her. Please read.
And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me.
That means okay. I mean, you're in the family. And we want to keep the family going like that. I mean, I know your stock. I know Abraham. I know your mother. We're going to keep this thing in the family. And I'm going to benefit by having you here. Understand something. This man is trying to benefit off somebody that has God's blessing. And I'm going to go ahead and go ahead of time. And he's not trying to benefit Jacob. I'm going to tell you something that Ann and I talked about earlier today. I have found it even in your family. And people you work with, if you're trying to walk with God and doing service, people will try to benefit from you, and they don't many times want to do anything to benefit you. It's always about them, and it's the same way they do God. They want to benefit from God, but they don't want God to benefit from them. Why should it be any different for us? Get your mind right when you're being obedient to God and you're giving service. You're giving service because you're trying to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish in your life. In Jacob's case, his job was to accomplish what God had for him, and he only was supposed to choose a wife of the daughters of Laban, and he had nothing to give but his service. And I submit to you, in order for us to be a blessing to somebody else, we got our service. And most of the time, that's not what we want to give people. We want to give them the chance to bow down and worship us. Give them a chance to give us homage. Because we have had life spoken into us. And so we want to be the one that they look up to. Read some more of the sweetest word of God, Drew, because it's so precious.
And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her.
Do you know how sweet it is to feel that you're doing God's will, and it's the very thing you want to do? That's how I feel when I teach, okay? I like it. I love it. I want more of it. I think about it all the time. Lord, how can I do it better? Lord, help me understand this better so I can teach it like you want it taught. Lord, please let me be right in what I'm saying, because you're going to judge me for how I handle my service. But I love it. I ain't lying. I teach when I'm not around you all. Some of my worst ones and my best ones are the ones I have to teach myself. Damn, you shouldn't have done that. That's unforgivable. You got to repent. You know what I mean? When I say unforgivable, when I'm talking to myself, that does it. In other words, it means you can't just gloss over that. That has to be dealt with. You did wrong. You all don't know anything about that. When somebody do something to you in traffic and you maybe pull your car back in front of them and you didn't have to do that. You could just let that go. You all don't know anything about that and have to rebuke yourself. I understand. But I mean, since I teach to myself too. But Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days for the love which he had to her. Do you all understand that Jesus came here to get a wife from his kindred? I mean, Jesus came here to get a wife from his kindred. Didn't he call the elder brothers? We just went through Hebrews chapter 2. And he served. He served. He served. He didn't come in with all the gold and silver and all of that. He came as a servant. And he served to get his bride. If he had to serve to get his bride, to build his family, why would we think that we wouldn't have to serve if we're going to be just like him? Because his bride consists of a multitude. Can we not be like that servant Abraham sent out? Had a mission to do the will of the one that sent him. Are we not sent? Do we think we're supposed to just sit back because God has spoken life? Tell me where you get that from. The Bible said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He has spoken life to us. These people that say they speak in life, they're not teaching you to serve nobody but themselves most of the time. Most that I've encountered. You may find somebody that's really serious. If you do, wonderful. But I can hear the Bible speak life to me every day I live. Please read, Dre.
And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter.
And stop right there. Jacob had served. And I want us to get a foretaste of what's to come in while we're in the patriarchal series. Jacob had served faithfully. Jacob, you have no problem in the service that Jacob gave to this man. I submit to you that when we get to the life of the young man Joseph, we're going to see that he serves in the same kind of way. Jacob is diligent in the service, but when it came time for pay, it doesn't seem as if Laban was ready to give the daughter. It seems as if I would keep letting you work. But Jacob showed that I got a mission from God. I have done what's necessary. Now it's time for me to fulfill that which God wanted me to do. And as a byproduct, let me give you a word, serendipity. Can you say serendipity? Say it with me. Serendipity. What serendipity means, that's a fringe benefit. Let's say if you go to school and you do really well and you get great grades, but then after you get out of school, somebody pays you an extra $30,000 a year because you did so well in school. I'm talking about an extra about $700 a week. That's a serendipity. And if you get a job and they pay you so much, and then they give you all of your insurance, pay for your car, pay your house note, buy your clothes, those are called serendipities, okay? Like fringe benefits. Jacob has served for this wife. He obeyed God. But here comes the serendipity time. Let me take my wife and go in unto her. I am ready for us to be one in the twain. According to the way the scripture is, I've never done it before, but I raise sheep. I raise cattle. I'm a man that's all about around 64 years old. In the words of that prophetess, Diana Ross, it's my turn. It's my turn. And I'm doing it right. I'm married. Give me my wife that I may go into her and fulfill the job that I'm supposed to do. I provided service. I've been obedient. And so Laban, they had a feast that usually, the feast usually lasts about a week. Now, notice what happens in verse 23. This is going to be good. He's ready to have his wife. Now, which one is he going to get? Which wife is he? Which woman he's going to get?
Leah.
Is he going to get Leah? Which one does he want?
Rachel.
Why?
Because she's beautiful.
She's beautiful. Which one is he going to get? Which one does he want? Which one is beautiful, Chizari? Help her.
Rachel.
Now, listen to what your mom reads when she reads verse 23. Read 23 again, Dree.
And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her.
24.
And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for an handmaid.
Read 25 with the strength.
And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?
Ooh. You see, in those feasts that they would have, like a 7-day feast, there would be a lot of drinking and marrying and, oh, such a celebratory time. Time and love is in the air. A marriage is taking place. The joining of a man and a woman together to bring a new family so that the family can continue in the earth. And they drink wine and they eat and they dance. And in front of everybody, the man and the woman go to their place to gather together for the first time to sleep together. And I'm using the word sleep as a misnomer or a euphemism. They come together in the one and the twain like God wants them to do. But Jacob, having had no doubt some of the festivities. Leah with the veil, sometimes the veil would cover their face and come down long. He couldn't see the form. Jacob is in the place where he should be right now. In the bedroom. But he can't see well. He's had a little fun. It's dark. Yes, it is. She's covered. And because he can't see well, he feels that he's with his wife that he served for 7 years. And I'm going to get to know her in the biblical way. And he gets to know her. And he confers on her the blessing of being one with him and being his bride. But he wakes up in the morning, when the light comes out in the rooster. Go, ah, ah, ah. Ah, ah, ah. Or maybe the birds are singing. Ah, 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 ah. And he looks and he sees that face. Oh, Lord, I'm glad I'm not Leah when he saw that face. It's not the beautifulest one. I know what people would probably say today. They would probably say what does whatever word comes out of their mouth. But he's like, he probably, oh! I know there are men that have done that because some men go out to the club and they practice ungodliness and take somebody home and go home with them and don't realize who they took or they were drunk. Don't know what they look like. Sometimes don't even know what sex they are. And just wake up. Remember that movie we saw? Where they were scaring young people from being promiscuous and this man had went with another man. He didn't know the difference. But here we go. He wakes up. And he wakes up and realizes it is not Rachel. Do you understand the rage that he had, the love that, you know, he think he holding Rachel softly, soft kisses. And he wakes up and it's Leah. Do you understand that he's been tricked, Naomi? He thought that he had the beautiful one and he had Leah. Shazara, he thought he had the magnificent one that he, 7 years, how old are you? Longer than you've been breathing air on the earth, he worked. Do you think that's a disappointment? You ever wanted somebody to bring you something, they brought the wrong thing? And you sent your money and they bring you the wrong thing? Imagine what it's like, you, and this is a marriage. And I'm going to say something that's poignant here. Is that not what he did to his father? When his father was getting ready to confer a blessing, and he came to his father, well, his father couldn't see, right? If you can't see him, is that the same thing as in the dark? And the father, the light wasn't good because he couldn't see well. So didn't he cover up his hands so that the father wouldn't know that was his smooth skin? Didn't he have it around his neck? Leah was covered up. And understand something, Leah knew what was going on as well. Didn't Jacob know what was going on with his mother, that it was a deception taking place so that I could get this blessing? But wasn't it also said that the elder would serve the younger? In that culture, the father said it wasn't that the older should get married last, or that the younger should marry before the elder. The very thing that he had done to his father came on him. I submit to you that there's a lesson from this we can learn, and if you feel like I'm stretching it, don't accept it, but I guarantee your life will bear it out. When God has given you a charge and you being obedient to him and you walking in what he has for you and you provide service, that does not mean that the life that you lived before does not still have consequences. Consequences. I got a young lady back there, just as cute as she want to be. I don't know, she might not be cute as she want to be, but she's cute. She might want to be more cute. Talk about you. Because if I ask her how cute she want to be, I mean, you know, I don't know. But there are consequences that you can have right now. Some of us that's older, there are things that we've done, we still have consequences for, although we serve God. Just some people just not smart enough to see it. Coming to God and God putting his blessing on you does not abdicate you from your responsibilities, and it does not change the fact that you had a life before God has spoken this life of abundance to you. There are things that you still go through. There are lessons that you need to learn, and the lessons that we learn when we learn about God, especially we think he's going to be our God, there are things you got to learn about him. You need to learn that you must be obedient. You need to learn that there's service. And you have to also learn that God is sovereign. And sometimes the very time you think you figured out exactly how God's going to do what he's going to do, it's not that way. And it might cause disappointment. Jacob thought that I got Rachel. And God allowed him to have that crop that he planted, the deceit. And there's Leah. And he's upset. You have beguiled me. I promise you, you steal from a thief and he knows what you've done. You lie to a liar and he won't appreciate it. Imagine when you trick a trickster what it must feel like. And imagine if this was done in the open, how Leah must be feeling. I know he didn't want me, but I liked him. I was willing. Please read, Dree. 27.
And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the first.
But he didn't tell him that first, did he? He didn't tell him that at first. He wouldn't have served 7 years for Leah, or would he? I think he would have. Why does anybody think that I think he would have done it? I think he would have also done it because of the fact he was trying to be obedient to what God had charged him by his father to marry one of his daughters. Now, he might have said, I'll do 2 years or 6 months for her. But I believe he would have served to get one of those. I can't prove it. But everything that I see in Jacob was that he was intending to go there to get a wife like he was told. And if this man had told him this, at first, and that's what he had to do to get Rachel. Mm-hmm. It would have been, I think he still might have done it. Mm-hmm. But Laban didn't know. So what he did, he took matters in his own hand. I submit to you that if you're following God, don't you ever think people can't work tricks against you. Don't you ever think people can't do things to you. Don't be walking around here talking about no weapon formed against me will prosper, thinking that nobody can do you wrong. Because you love God. But I submit to you that if God is with you and if God is for you, the very things that they do can be turned around to be a blessing and a benefit to you. Even if they kill you and hang you on the cross, it can be a blessing. Just letting you know the nature and the work of God. Please read.
Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years.
So now he has worked it out where I'm going to get another 7 years of service for the daughter that I didn't really want. I mean, that you didn't really want to start with. So in actuality, you're going to serve me 14 years for Rachel. I have changed your wage. And Jacob is going to talk about that one day, how you changed my wages. And Jacob's going to let him know, I've never been stupid. I know what time it is. I know how to do what you're doing. Please read.
And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also.
So what we got going on here is that he worked, he fulfilled a week, and after that week he didn't have to wait 7 years to get the other daughter. He got the other daughter up front, and then after that, then he was able to work another 7 years, but he had Rachel. But the sad thing about this is often we don't realize when God is giving us what he wants us to have. Sometimes marriages come together and it's not what we want. Sometimes marriages are forced together. Sometimes marriages are put together because of the fact people have spoken and you listen. Sometimes marriages come together because people are in associations. Sometimes marriages come together because somebody gets pregnant. I submit to you that when a person comes together and those people get married and they join together in the one, in the twain, that marriage can be a marriage that's a blessing in spite of the fact that this is not the way that I would have set it up. I submit to you that when we look at this passage here, the very one he didn't want is the one God's blessing is on. And the one that he would have had, there is a blessing there, but if you follow the line of the scripture and you see Messiah, Jesus, he comes to the one that Jacob didn't want. What if he's like, I married the wrong one. Now that I got Rachel, I ain't going into you no more. I mean, you can be there. You can wash Rachel's feet. You could carry in and out of groceries or whatever it is when we kill animals. But this is the one. God told him, I will multiply you. God told him, I would bless you. God said, I would make your seed such and such. Let's watch what happens. Read some more.
And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years.
Imagine being Leah, and it's evidence again that he loves her more. He just loves Rachel so much more. But that's where his heart was. And there are times when people, just like Jacob, feel they're doing the work of God, and we feel that we know exactly what God has for us, and it may not be exactly what we want. Can we love? Can we still be faithful in that which he allows us to have? Can we still be faithful? Because if you can't be faithful in little, if you can't be faithful in that which God has provided, remember, it wasn't his desire to go there. He was told to go there. It wasn't his desire not to have to marry the Canaanites. His father charged him with that. And then God ratified that. And when he got there, he felt he knew what God wanted for him. I'm not saying that Rachel did not work out and it was a blessing in the end that he had her. But let's read on. We'll see what happened. Read 31.
And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren.
Now, the amazing thing is in this verse right here, it doesn't say that the Lord held the womb yet, but it lets you know she was barren. And it also lets you know that Rachel was the one that was hated. Now, do we mean that Leah, I hate you, Leah. I hate you. I ain't ever loved you, Leah. No. This means was not preferred, loved less. And it must have been, and it was quite obvious. But it said the Lord, observing that, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Read some more.
And Leah conceived.
Oh, do you know what open the womb means? That's a way of saying he gave her a baby. And there's some kind of weird ways the Bible say stuff. Open her womb. Read on.
And Leah conceived and bare a son. And she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me.
First, do you see that she's attributing the child to the Lord? Do you see that she uses capital L-O-R-Y, Yahweh? He has looked upon my affliction. He's looked upon my poverty. He looked upon my hurt. And now I feel my husband will love me. Read.
And she conceived again.
Again, number two.
And bare a son. And said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also.
And the Lord heard her, and she named this son Simeon. And Simeon, when you look up the name of Simeon, the word is Shimon. It means heard. Notice her son's name was saying stuff. Read the 34th verse, I mean.
And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi.
The Hebrew word for join, where it's joined together, is lava. It almost like the stuff that come out of a volcano, lava, okay? And she named his name Levi, and the way it's pronounced in Hebrews is Levi. That name means joined to. So the very thing she said is what she gave the name. She conceived again and said, now will my husband love me, I'll be joined to me, because I've given him three sons. Here is the point that I'm making. Do we see that God is opening the womb? Do we see that God is making him fruitful? Do we see that God is making him fruitful and multiplying like he said? Read the next verse, please.
And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing.
Wow. The first four sons that he had. God showing that this is what I'm doing through this one. I opened this womb of the first one that you joined to. And this is the one that we'll see at the end of his life that he wants to be buried by when he dies. But Judah is the one that Jesus comes through. Judah. Levi is the one that became the priest, Aaron and Moses. So what we have here is that this man, by being obedient to the known will of God and providing service, was able to embark upon fulfilling the role that God had for him. Did it come the way he wanted it to be? No. But he was found faithful where he was. Were there some obstacles? Absolutely there were some obstacles. You've served for this other woman, but you get another one. How many times are we going to really see in our life there are things we want to do for the Lord and we're not allowed? You remember David wanted to build God a house? No, David. But what did David do? He stayed faithful. Didn't he get stuff together for Solomon to do it? Are there some things that we know that God wants us to do for him and we haven't been able to do? That doesn't mean don't do anything. Do something. Stay faithful. And whatever it is God allows you to do where you are, do that and let him bless you in that. Let him prosper you in that. Because he got Leah first. That is not what he chose. But he obviously, he was still being faithful to his role as a husband. And she was bearing the children. And God blessed him through that. And as we start seeing more and more in this, we're going to start seeing how the family works in this. We're going to see turmoil in the family. We're going to see problems in the family. We're going to see jealousy in the family. We're going to see not only jealousy, we're going to see problems, envy, hatred, wars, strife. We're going to see him make decisions that are not good. We're going to see the women make decisions that are not good. The brother's going to do things that are not good. It's going to be a real rambunctious time. But what we have seen is that God said, I'm going to bless you. God said, I'm going to be with you. What have we seen in the recap? He went and he was obedient. He provided service, and in his providing service, God allowed him to start fulfilling the role that he has for him. I submit to you that once we go through this life of Jacob, we're going to see that when problems come in our lives, in our families, and although we may not have it exactly like we would have wanted it to be, this is where we are. Work with it. We can make this thing a blessing for God if we really understand we are being faithful to him. When God speaks life to a person, it doesn't mean everything is going to be well with you the way you see it. but it's going to be well the way he sees it. Be faithful. Be committed. If we do that, I submit to you that the things that we see that are setbacks, the disappointments, they'll be overturned because it's going to be all to the glory of God. Father, thank you for your blessed, your holy, and your righteous word. I ask you to help us to have the right mindset, that we would walk with you, and no matter what comes our way, that we'll continually be faithful, that we'll continue to provide service. And when we see that things have gone different than what we want them to, but you have allowed it to happen, help us to have the mindset to make the best of it, because we realize that you can bless in any situation as long as we're faithful to you. I ask this in the name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen.